Here we are, the food maven, Arthur Schwartz time. Shall I start singing the most wonderful time of the day?
No, do you have a song about spinach? I do,
yes.
Actually.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
You know, why? I did not hate any vegetable when I was a kid. I was total omnivore. I ate anything. Still do. But of course, spinach is much hated.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, really. Well, I do know why. Because it does have a metallic edge. It can be a little bitter. Young people do not like, I mean, this is physiological, not psychological, don't like bitter. For instance, asparagus, which have a bitter edge, are an adult vegetable. Artichokes, considered an adult vegetable.
You're listing vegetables that are just that are extraordinarily delicious.
Well, you like bitter, and I like bitter, but not everybody likes bitter. So I'm just saying why kids don't like spinach. And of course, it was always through Popeye. It was always presented as something very healthy and make you strong. So that, I don't know. Anyway,
that'll do it.
At the moment, this is the spinach moment. The end of April, beginning of May, is when at least my local farmers start harvesting their spinach, which is one of the first things that comes up out of the ground. The other thing that comes up out of the ground very early is dandelion.
Yep.
And somebody just the other day asked me, randomly, can I eat the dandelion green? Because we were looking at dandelions in the neighborhood. Yes, you can, but the mature greens that you see that have the yellow flowers, they're going to be very bitter. You got to catch dandelion when it's young and small. I always like to say, at this time of the year, I used to harvest whatever green growth was coming up in West Cornwall. And right. Dandelion was for sure the abundance of greens that you could get. But those first shoots are not that bitter, so you can actually eat them as salad. One way to get bitter out of a vegetable, and I'll get to the main thrust here, which is spinach in a second, is to blanch it.
Right.
And if you eat it raw, of course, it's going to be way more bitter than if you, for instance, dandelion greens. I would plunge them into a large, large pot of already boiling water and boil them, put them in, wait till the water comes back to a boil, which won't take long if it's enough water, and 3 to 5 minutes, and then you can drain them, and then you can go further with them. But dandelion greens need that. Spinach does not need that. And in fact, I see that a lot of people are not even having their spinach touch water, meaning they don't boil it, they don't steam it, they don't cook it, actually, until it's ready to go in whatever it is, like, you know, in a pan with oil and garlic. I like to cook mine first. So I did buy 2 big bags of spinach at the farmer's market on Saturday, and each bag it ends up weighs a pound. They have this nice spinach. By the way, this is the dark green, curly-leaved, and sometimes rather large-leaved kind of spinach. There are many varieties, and what I see in the supermarket most of the time is a very mild-tasting flat leaf spinach, or they sell baby spinach. You know, it's fine in a salad. That's what I have to say about that. But I like this kind of spinach, which is a little tougher, true. But my farmer sells them in plastic bags. I weighed it. It's a pound bag. 2 bags was $9. So it's not a cheap thing. I like to prep my spinach by taking off the very heavy stems. Now, you don't have to. You could cook it just the way it is. I've been doing this for over 50 years. I can't stop doing it. A big leaf, I'll fold it in half with the spine, the thick stem up, and then zip off, like a zipper, zip off the stem. When the leaf is folded, it'll pretty much zip off easily. If it doesn't, don't worry about it, because just leave that part of the stem attached to the leaf. If it doesn't have a thick, thick stem, and because I was buying mine in bags, it was an assortment of young growth and older growth and thick stems and not, I noticed that if you were willing to pay even more, I put $9 for 2 pounds of spinach was already enough, you could have bought them in bunches, in which case I would have discarded more stem anyway, because those, in order for them to, the farmer to have bunched them up in nice bouquets, they had to have decent stems. But as I said, you can eat the stems. So what I do, one thing, I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do with the spinach. I just knew I had to have spinach. By the way, I think our bodies crave certain foods at certain times of the year because our bodies need certain nutrients that maybe we're not getting. For instance, an example, citrus fruits are at their peak in the winter when we humans need vitamin C to stave off whatever, colds, let's just say, in the winter.
There's no question that that is so. And when people just begin, I mean, obviously, you and many of your fans, your devoted people are well past them. When people first figure out that there is a reason to eat in sync with what is growing,
yes.
But then again,
Jill, there's that whole, I think, locavore.
They're talking about locavore.
You're eating what's in season where you live.
I eat things
that are in season other places. We don't have citrus in the Northeast.
So
in the winter when citrus is at its peak in California, Florida, Arizona, Texas, wherever they're growing oranges and tangerines, etc., all those places are far away. And if you were a real locavore, you wouldn't eat them.
But I didn't. You were the one who used the word locavore. I just said eat in sync with the seasons.
I know. So the season here.
My brother who lives
right
in California.
Spinach and greens, because I said the season now is spinach and greens, because after a long winter, we're not talking this year, we're just talking
I was going back to citrus, but okay. Carry on.
Today's a spinach day.
Right. Okay.
And you need the vitamin A, the micronutrients, the dark green spinach nutrients. Also, by the way, dark green other leaves, for instance, dandelions. I don't want to mention kale, but I just did. But spinach is in this, and you know, kale became this total fad. And I never saw spinach become a fad, but it's equally nutritious. What I do is I wash my spinach 3 times because it can be sandy, at least, you know, the farm spinach that I buy, not the in the supermarket. So I put it in a big, big pot, cover it with cold water, swish it around a little bit, let it sit for a few minutes, and then lift off the greens from the top of the water, you know, like using your hand like a forklift, and put them in a colander. You'll see the first water is going to be sandy dirty. And you pour it all off, rinse out the pot, and do it all over again. And then it often takes 3 washings like that to get the water to be totally clear and without sand. But that's what you want to do. Then I put the drained, but not, you know, it's still wet, spinach from the colander back into this big pot that I just used to wash it in. And I don't cover the pot because spinach contains a huge amount of its own moisture, plus you put this in wet, so it's going to be a lot of moisture. I don't understand why anyone would cover the pot to trap all that when, in fact, you want to get rid of it. So I do it in an open pot, and tongs, my long-handled tongs, are my best friend here. As soon as I see a trace of vapor coming from the pot, I put the pot over medium-high heat, and you don't have to add any water because it's already too much water. And you keep turning the spinach with your tongs over medium-high heat And you'll see, within no time, it's going to shrink down to nothing. And I like to leave it in the pot for a few minutes to let it cool down. And then using my tongs again, I lift it out of the pot. You're going to see you've created a huge amount of green water. Just throw that away. Doing it this way, I find it retains minimal, not that much water. If you're doing something that you really need dry spinach, you're going to have to squeeze it out in your hands. But I'm not doing that. So I have this wonderful, wilted, delicious, nutritious spinach, and I could eat it just like that with nothing but oil and a squeeze of lemon juice and salt. However, I often recook it, by sautéing a clove or two of garlic, crushed a little bit under my hand, in some olive oil, just until the garlic gets tender but not brown, and then put in my already cooked spinach. By the way, I do this in a wide skillet because it does have a lot of moisture, and you do want the moisture to cook off. And that's it. Turn the spinach in your oil and garlic. By the way, you'd be well to add a little hot pepper, either crushed pepper flakes, or I have these nice little Calabrian peppers, dried peppers. I put one in the pan. This way, nobody gets it in their mouth, but it adds a little heat to the general dish of spinach. And that's it. Sauté it until the spinach is heated through. And get some flavor from the oil and the garlic and the hot pepper, and I'm in heaven. That is good with almost anything.
Yes.
I mean, as a side dish for almost anything.
Or it can go on pasta.
It could go on. Absolutely, you could mix in some pasta. Bob has his head on creamed spinach. So
yes.
I don't do the sauté in garlic from the start thing because I'm going to use some of my spinach to make creamed spinach for him. And I've tried to make cream spinach without any flour for thickening, and I find you really do need. So I will make a little roux, maybe a tablespoon, a heaping tablespoon of flour and a tablespoon of butter, and then I'll add a cup of milk and make a little white sauce, and then add my spinach, and which is already cooked. And in this case, I would drain it again. I don't have to squeeze it out, but, you know, do drain it. And, by the way, this is leaf spinach. Making cream spinach, I usually want to chop it. So put the spinach you're going to use on a chopping board and chop it up, and then throw that into your little white sauce. Nutmeg, very good in this. Salt, pepper, of course. And then cook it a few minutes until it's the consistency you like, the cream spinach consistency you like. You could add grated cheese to that. It's delicious. And another thing I do with that, and we may eat this later today, is I make a bed of creamed spinach in a little baking dish and then cook hard-boiled eggs, halved, in the creamed spinach just until it's all heated through and bubbly. If you want to make a little crust on top, it wouldn't hurt to take some buttered breadcrumbs, meaning melt some butter, mix in some breadcrumbs, and put that on top. Another thing you could do without making the hard-cooked eggs is make little wells in your, in the cream spinach and break eggs into it and bake that. So your baked eggs are baking in spinach. I can't find this recipe.
Huh.
But I'm dying to make. There was a recipe I made many years ago, frequently, of different spring greens, all baked into a pie, with pine nuts and raisins. Very southern Italian. I could make it up myself, but I do know I had a really good formula for it. I got to find it. But one thing I did find this morning, knowing I had all this spinach, is a recipe I have not made in a long time. A Greek spinach phyllo pie. Only thing is, I don't want to use phyllo. So I'm trying to figure out what this very delicious spinach and cheese filling. I might just do it for its own sake and forget the pastry.
Right. Just like keto pizza. Leave out the phyllo, but the good stuff. You know, just the cheese version. Did you just do the spinach that goes in?
Well, I know. So I have the filling for this. This is a form of spinach. This recipe, I remember the recipe, but not where it came from. But where it came from is a book called The Complete Book of Greek Cooking, which was barely, it was not the complete, believe me. And it was written by the Recipe Club of St. Paul's Greek Orthodox Cathedral. Now, and it was the version of the recipe that I have was published in 1990, but I'm pretty sure that was the second publishing, the second pub date for this book, that it had actually been published many years earlier, and the club revised it and got it republished by Harper and Row, which doesn't even exist anymore. It's HarperCollins. In any case, I remember the filling being particularly good, so this is what it is. And you're going to see right away why it was so good. A half a cup of chopped scallions. Oh, by the way, you're going to mix, in the end, this is for pastry, but we're not going to use the pastry. A half a cup of chopped scallions. I would say white and green together. That's a nice amount. A couple tablespoons of butter. And 2 pounds of fresh spinach, which is picked over, washed, and drained, which is exactly what I have right now on my kitchen counter. As I said, each pound came out to 2 cups of spinach. So that was 4 cups altogether. This is makes a big pie. 4 cups of spinach, of already cooked spinach, or the committee says 4 10-ounce packages. So that's already 40 ounces. It's a lot of spinach.
So like,
and I like frozen spinach.
It's 3 pounds.
Pardon me?
40 ounces is 3.
It's four 10-ounce packages.
Right. So, and what I'm saying is a pound is 16 ounces, so...
They can't, no, but the pound of spinach that I buy has stems on it. And so I didn't weigh the stems.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just
telling you the recipe that I used to make. And I'm telling you, I probably made it with frozen spinach back in the day. 30 years ago.
Yes.
More than 30 years ago. Anyway, but I do like frozen spinach, of all the frozen vegetables. There's nothing like fresh spinach, though. Anyway, you need basically... 4 cups of cooked spinach, 6 eggs, a half a pound of feta cheese crumbled, and I think this is the secret ingredient that makes this so delicious, 8 ounces of cottage cheese. I would use your small curd creamed cottage cheese because I think that's what the ladies on Long Island would have used. And they call for 2 tablespoons of farina, because back in the day, they used a lot of farina in place of semolina. I would just use, you need a little starch here to hold it together, so just 2 tablespoons of flour would be good. And a half a cup of chopped parsley, flat-leaf parsley, and a half a cup, another secret ingredient, a half a cup of fresh chopped dill. Now, you want to saute those scallions in the 2 tablespoons of butter and then mix it all together. You know, mix in the spinach. You could probably cook the spinach a little bit more if you haven't already. The eggs, the cheese, there are actually feta and cottage cheese, a little flour, parsley, dill. Of course, salt and pepper to taste. And you could probably bake that very nicely in a buttered casserole with... I would sprinkle the casserole after it's buttered with breadcrumbs and bake that in the oven until it's...
At what, like 350?
Yeah, I would say 350, yeah. I don't know, lately I've been cooking at a higher temperature, but I would say it certainly, it takes a while. It could take an hour,
right.
I think. Yeah.
But
you know, you could just line a pan with pastry that you buy in the store. Phyllo pastry very handy sometimes, but I just don't want to fuss with it today.
How about just take a cast iron pan?
I wouldn't use it. No, I don't know. That doesn't
all right,
suit
whatever.
Me. I have so many beautiful gratin dishes and casserole dishes.
Well, I didn't
have beautiful ones, a Corning casserole dish is perfect.
Right.
For this. Think suburban Long Island ladies, what they would cook in.
Right.
The cookbook, I'm sure it must be out of print by now. I'm not even sure what goes on with that. St. Paul's Greek Orthodox Cathedral, I think, is in Hempstead, Long Island. Not certain. But you know who my favorite Greek food writer is now on TikTok, and I bet you on YouTube as well, Diane Kochilis. Diane's last name is spelled K-O-C-H-I-L, I think it's A-S, Kochilis. And that is her maiden name. She's married to a Greek guy. Cute story. Diane, who grew up in Queens, Greek, her family used to go back to Greece every summer. I forget what the name of the island is, but the island that they were from. And on this island, she had a playmate. In the end, she ended up marrying her playmate and moving to the island. So she does cooking tours, food tours, and she has a cooking school, and she's a wonderful cook. I use her recipes all the time. And now I was very happy to see that you can actually watch her cook. You can also go to Greece with her if you want. So Diane Kochilis, I have all her books. I'm going to go look through her books and see what I can find with spinach, because the Greeks love spinach. They eat a lot of greens. That's why they live long. I always say that's why my southern Italian friends live to be so old. They eat a huge amount of greens. Dark greens. So, spinach. So I do love, however, the spinach just the way it is out of the pot. And I would just put some really good oil and a squeeze of lemon juice on it. And it's just a nice vegetable.
All sounds, all delicious. I guess the first thing I would say is I hope you like spinach.
Well, spinach and eggs, by the way, go very well together.
The whole egg benedict. What's it called? Is it exploring?
I do have some matzah. Today's the last day of Passover. And I still have matzah. So I could make a matzah braai with spinach. Oh, and the other thing you can do with matzah is make it's called a mina in some Ladino, not Latino, but Ladino language. Is basically like a lasagna.
Right.
But instead of pasta, you're using matzah boards.
But following that.
And I would take my creamed spinach. Sorry, if I had some chicken. Creamed spinach and chicken sounds good.
Or I would say take your take your matzah and put it under your Greek spinach.
Yeah, I think in the end, that would just feel like soggy.
Okay.
Matzah.
Yes, dear. Whatever you say, dear. Okay.
Yeah, I think that would it wouldn't be like matzah brah, or
it's true. It would not be like matzah brah. I'm not suggesting it would be.
So, if you present it in a certain way, I'm sure I would eat it.
Well, in that case,
okay.
That's
not just our I'm full of spinach here. I was very happy to see. I never really measured this, and I always say, you buy a pound of spinach and it ends up being a thimble full of spinach. But it ended up my 1 pound bag of spinach, even with the tough stems thrown away, it turned out to be 2 cups of cooked spinach. So that wasn't such a bad. Yeah, $4.50 2 cups. So it was just. Yeah, $4.50 for 2 cups.
And where does your spinach come? Which farmstead? Where do their spinach come? Is it Jersey?
Oh yes, it is. I would say he's in Jersey, but you know what? There are farms north of the city that had ramps. That was from somewhere north of the city.
Sure, the Hudson Valley. I'm just saying that we don't have.
Your spinach is going to come up out of the ground this week.
Yes, imminently, but not enough to take down to the city, shall we say, and sell.
No, probably not. No, but certainly spinach is the first thing that pops out of the ground. Maybe
radishes.
Radishes too. Mint. We have mint growing right here next to the building, so I harvested a little bit to make some artichokes the other day with mint. But you know what? I had no mint flavor. So I'm not going to use my mint anymore.
You have no idea what's being sprayed there or anything, you know, by accident.
Yes, I do. Of course I do. It's my house.
Right.
I know what the gardener is putting in.
Okay.
And he intentionally left that piece of, that used to be my herb garden.
Right.
That's why the mint keeps coming back. But he's left that for the mint and the garlic chives, which are the two things that thrive in that corner of the garden. But no, I do know what he puts in, and he told me we have a gardener.
Yes.
Nice young. No, I was going to say a nice young man, but he's not all that young. He's nice though.
No, you know, with the stuff in the rain and the this and the that, you just don't know.
I don't get. You know what? You worry about these things. I don't worry about these things.
I don't worry about.
My
it
line
at all.
Is the chromosome damage has already
difference.
Been done. You know, I'm already old.
And this
I'm
is where I always say, yeah, Noah.
I'm not expecting to live to be 100.
Tired as child, so yeah, you're old.
I'm old.
It totally depends on your frame of mind.
Well, my frame of mind is I'm old.
Okay. Then.
Yeah. And I don't mind being old. I just don't mind being infirm. Old is okay.
Okay. I'll make a note in your notation in the log, okay?
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. Spinach for all those who
spinach
really like
for now.
It. And,
I'm looking to make some. I have to find out what exactly is being caught locally. But my dentist, who is a fisherman, told me the other day that the striped bass are running great around here right now. So I want to go see if I can find some striped bass today. May take a ride all the way to Sheepshead Bay.
That would be a good example of locavore.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go to Sheepshead Bay. You know, I don't know where. I mean, what it is, if you meet the charter boats there. Guys who have been fishing will sell you some fish, but there are strict rules about fishing for the striped bass, and they have to be big ones. So I need to find some other people to eat it.
There are rules about everything. All right, I think we're
all right.
Out of time.
Everybody have a great week. No holidays this week.
This is fish holiday. Today. It's also the first Saturday in May, and that's not true because we've got Orthodox Easter coming up.
Oh, yeah, May 1st, May Day.
All right, you've got May Day.
Yeah.
I won't tell
that's
you.
That's a big holiday around here. Apparently in Hawaii, remember, Bob's from Hawaii,
okay.
they did a big number on May 1st.
And then, as I say, you got Orthodox Easter. That counts. All right.
Time's up.
So,
take care, everyone.
Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven on Robin Hood Radio.